Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for insight and opinions on current workforce management issues and trends? Then look no further than blog.acquire.com. You'll find intelligent blog posts from industry thought leaders on what matters most to you. This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire, industry leaders in workforce planning and analytic solutions.
Show. It's great to be back. My name is Steve Bowes. This is episode 114, the HR Technology Conference preview. 114 episodes. I'm going to hazard a guess about half a dozen of them have been related to this conference, but that's how great the conference is, and that's how much we like talking about it, and it's going to be a great show tonight. We're really happy to be with you tonight. We're glad you're listening. A couple quick things. If you're catching the show on the replay, it's being recorded live on Thursday, August 18th, 2011. You're listening live tonight. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. If you want to get on board on the show to talk about the HR Technology Conference with the great Bill Cudick, we'll be welcoming to the show in just a minute. Please do start dialing in now. And several folks already on the line. That's great. If any of you guys want to get on board tonight, please do press 1 after you connect, and we'll be sure to take your question and take your call tonight. Back channel, of course, folks hanging out on Twitter, our hashtag to follow tonight, HR Happy Hour, HR Happy Hour. So that's it, HR Technology Conference show tonight. It's going to be a great event, of course. I don't really have a lot of announcements to make, so I think we should get right to it. Let's welcome our guest, the HR Technology Conference co-chair, columnist for Human Resources Executive Magazine, the leading independent analyst in HR technology, the most interesting man in the world, returning guest to the HR Happy Hour show. Please welcome Bill Cudick. Bill, how are you tonight?
Hey, Steve, I'm great. Thanks for having me back. I look forward to the yearly appearance.
Yeah, that's right, the annual return to the HR Happy Hour. You're welcome anytime, Bill. You don't have to wait a year to come see us.
I really love hearing Mark Stelzner's voice for the Acquire commercials. He makes me sound like a tin can. It's an incredible voice.
That is a deep sort of dulcet tone, and it's almost, I have a little stereo conference room phone setup going here, and it's remarkable how good that sounds here. I wish you could be with me, folks listening. I'm sitting in a giant conference room all by myself looking out over just a beautiful day, another one, Bill, in Northern California. I'm really it's fantastic out here. I've got to get out here a little more often.
Well, I can't believe you prefer it to Rochester.
I tell you what, days like today, I could be convinced not to go back, but enough of that. So we're here to talk about the HR Technology Conference. Again, this is the HR Happy Hour. My name is Steve Bowes. Our guest, of course, Bill Cudick, who you should know by now from that voice, from his many, many hundreds of shows, probably on the Bill Cudick radio
show. I don't have as many shows as you, Steve, because I do it every other week.
Right.
I just
right.
finished my 86th show. It's, well, they're all available now, but it's the current show with the new president and COO of ADP. Pretty interesting show.
Right. Well, you get the big-time guests, too, there's no doubt, on the Bill Cudick radio show, which is great, and that's I'm jealous, I think. So.
Well, you've got a big name tonight here, Steve.
I do. I'm fighting back. I'm fighting back in terms of the guest quality. That's my plan tonight. So super show, though, coming up tonight. So let's get to it. Let's talk a little bit about the HR Technology Conference for folks I'm not sure who might not know much about it at this point. I think everybody does. But for folks who might be new to it or maybe not as familiar, and one of the themes I think we're going to talk about tonight is the importance and the relevance of HR technology in general, and as well as this event in particular for the general HR professional as well.
Well,
I'd love for you to talk just a little bit about the conference and then maybe some of the real special things, highlights, features, things that have you excited this year.
Absolutely. Well, you did touch on the key point. And the thing that has gratified me the most after doing this for 14 years is we've never been a bits and bytes show. We've always been about business. We've always been about how to get the business benefits out of technology for HR. And for years, we pitched it to the senior HR executive, basically saying, hey, you know, you're ultimately responsible for a lot of these buying decisions. And unfortunately, you find yourself relying on people who report to you because you don't know as much about it as you would like to know. Come with us. We'll teach you in a way that you can understand it and you can feel more comfortable and make those decisions. And, you know, we were very successful at that. 25% of our attendees are VPs or higher. But what's happened recently is exactly what you said, is the recognition among HR generalists, HR practitioners, that though they may not touch technology themselves in their jobs, technology touches them all
right,
the time.
Right.
All the time. You know that.
You're just like the old Soviet Russia joke, Bill, right? It may not, you know, it may not touch the technology, but technology touches you, right? But
absolutely.
It's so true.
Absolutely. And thanks to your friend and mine, Trish McFarlane, and Dwayne Lay, who recently got riffed at Ingersoll Rand, if anyone beat them.
Bill, that could be breaking news.
I had an email back and forth with him a few hours ago, and he said he knew it was coming, but, you know, he's still on the bricks. And your friend, Shauna Murky, HR Minion, they all have written incredibly eloquently about how important this is for the HR generalist to learn about technology, because on one hand, it will just help you be better for the people, your clients, the people that you serve, and more selfishly, you ain't going to get ahead as an HR person in the next 10, 15, 20 years unless you understand about technology, because,
right,
as you know, it's so important in almost everything that HR does. So I have a feeling we have a lot more people like that coming this year. I think the fact that you and Trish are co-locating HR Evolution with us on the Sunday before we open is going to help in that regard. And that's very exciting to me because, you know, the show is called HR Technology, but it's really an HR show. And I think that John Holland over at TLNT, that website, recognized
John Holland,
it first.
Our friend of the show. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You've had him on. I think he recognized it first at the end of last year's show where he said, we were now one of the big three national HR shows. And I'm not going to be so impolitic as to say what the other two are, but that's what he said. And I think it's true.
Yeah, Bill, you know, I'm a little biased, of course. I love the show. I'm presenting at the show this year as well. We have HR Evolution we'll talk about a little bit more tonight as well. But I've felt for a few years now that for the generalist and really for the technologist, certainly, but even for the generalist, you can get so much out of the HR Technology Conference. And I guess a lot of that is the quality and the scrutiny that goes into how the concurrent sessions are selected. And you know, I'd love for you to comment a little bit about your philosophy in that in general, and then we can talk about some specifics certainly of this year, but just maybe set the stage a little bit about how you go about programming the show.
Right. Well, I'm happy to brag about how hard I work. Nobody gets to talk on a stage at HR Technology Conference unless they've talked to me first. I mean, that is the first and foremost rule. And as you may know, I come out of print journalism, New York Times, Boston Globe, so I know how to ask questions, and I know how to get a sense of a person pretty quickly. And with major speakers, I'll spend half an hour with them on the phone, 45 minutes even, and really explain to them who our audience is, what their expectations are, and what I want them to present on. Now, you know, that's a little pushy maybe, but that's what I do with SVPs of HR at, you know, Fortune 100 companies. I tell them that, and, you know, they deliver. And that's why people love our concurrent sessions, because we don't sell speaking slots to vendors. And these people are there to tell you the truth about how hard, easy, medium, the mistakes they made, the wrong turns they took, getting to where you need to go, generally. I mean, I believe the people who are most into technology who come to the show are coming with the hope that they'll discover a company just like theirs with a problem just like theirs, but they've solved it. And they want to hear the solution. So that I think that's the reason people like the breakout sessions so much. And we're delighted.
It's definitely, you know, certainly there. Of course, you've got the names, you've got the big companies presenting. You're talking about the greatest and latest technologies, but you know, it goes beyond that sort of rah-rah, we've got a great new technology, into real, deeper kinds of dives into the business problems that were being approached by technology. And certainly, and many times in some of the sessions I've been in over the years, the technology really playing the supporting role to things like change management and organizational readiness and all those things we talk about all the time, but we know are really difficult to pull off in organizations today as well.
I really think that our sessions are about business process, which I think covers the categories you just mentioned as well. And I tell every speaker, what if your best friend from high school or college had a job just like yours at a non-competing firm and they were in the room, what would you tell them?
Right.
And that resonates. And, you know, your point about the fact that we have a lot of big companies, we have large brand name companies, but I firmly believe in the 17 magazine rule, which is, who reads 17 magazine? 13-year-old girls who want to find out what it's going to be like when they're 17.
Right.
So, you know, a smaller company will come to a big company presentation where vice versa is not true. They won't.
Yeah, a great point. Or, you know, we're a hot brand, and I know we'll talk a little bit about maybe this session a little bit. You've got it pulled out. You've highlighted it on the HR Technology Conference website, which is hrtechnologyconference.com, by the way.
All one word, by the way.
All one word. It's Facebook, right? I mean,
I love this.
But a good story, and we'll be at the show this year.
This is my favorite. One should never favor one's children, right? But this is my favorite session of all. Molly Graham is 28 years old. I think it was 2 years ago, maybe slightly less, at Facebook. She and a partner sat down and basically said, how are we going to do this HR thing, right? They started with a clean sheet of paper. Now, obviously, they followed the laws. Obviously, they were aware of compliance. But they had a company that was 50% millennials, as they were, as they are, right? And they said, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this differently? You know, how do we want to do it? There are no old farts here telling us what to do.
Right.
And so Molly is going to come with a current member of the HR team and tell us, you know, I mean, they happen to be a client of Ripple, but that's just one part of how they do it. And, you know,
story there too, right? I mean,
I don't know if they're going to be getting into recruiting so much. Okay. We have Groupon getting into recruiting because they're growing so fast. You know, about Facebook is it scales, right? It's a real computer system. You don't need to hire 100 more people to have 1 million more customers. So I don't think that that recruiting is going to be so much a part of it, but. You know, I understand the Wall Street Journal's been after Molly for 8 months to tell the story, and she's agreed to come to the conference and tell it, and I'm just excited as hell about it.
Yeah, absolutely. That is going to be one of the highlights of the event for sure. Let's do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. Joining me tonight is Bill Kudyk, co-chair of the HR Technology Conference, the 14th annual HR Technology Conference, which is coming up in October 3 through 5, 2011, at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, and I am going to ask you about that in a second. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Please do call in if you want to get on board, ask a question, make a comment, deep probe into the mind of Bill Kudyk about the upcoming event, or just the HR technology space in general, too. Well, we can open it up as well. We don't necessarily just have to talk about this event. If you're hanging out on hold, which a number of people are, please do press 1 if you want to get on board, and I'll open up your line. Twitter, of course, our hashtag HRHappyHour. And we're keeping an eye on that as well, and we really appreciate everybody out there listening tonight and tweeting along with us, so thanks for that. So, Bill, yeah, Las Vegas, you've moved the show for the first time in a while. I'd love for you to comment a little bit about that decision and what you think, if anything, the location affects your show or any kind of show of this nature. Does it really matter?
I wanted to talk about, quickly, two more sessions first that I haven't talked about enough that I think are going to be quite wonderful. Jim Holinshak, who is the head HR analyst for Gartner, our leading analyst firm, has come up with a terrifically original idea. Basically, it is, imagine it's 2020, all the social networks have merged into one, which he likes to call FaceLinked 2020. And you've got 5 billion people in 212 countries totally wired together on mobile devices.
Right.
With available wireless broadband networks and telepresence integrated and affordable, so that interacting on the network isn't that much different from being face-to-face.
Right.
And his whole speech is going to be, what does this mean for us? What does it mean for talent management? What does it mean for HR? He's going to be our closing keynoter on Wednesday. I think that's really going to be terrific.
Yeah, real futuristic kind of thing, right?
Well, not so much. I mean, I think his insights are going to be applicable to the currently networked state of our world, or the current state of our world in terms of being networked. We'll see. But, you know, Jim's sort of a low-key presenter, but an incredibly smart guy. Has presented at the conference, I think, for 11 or 12 years before. I think 11 years before this. The other one is brand new, and it's called the CANDY Awards, which stand for the Candidate Experience.
Sure.
And this is just like you see in Fortune magazine, Best Places to Work.
Right.
Only this is going to be Best Places to Apply to Work.
Okay.
And guys, you know, Elaine Orler, Jerry Crispin, Ed Newman, 3 of the best in recruiting, started a nonprofit foundation to find out which companies in the United States give the best applicant-candidate experience. I don't want to be profane on your show, but we all know that most companies treat their job candidates like dirt. And they went out in search of companies that treated them well. Mm-hmm. And they're down to a list of 32 finalists, including, I think, 5 Fortune 100 companies. I may be exaggerating there, but a lot of big companies. And they're going to be giving out these awards as a breakout session at the conference to these companies who really go out of their way to treat their job applicants well. And I think that given the kinds of talent shortages we're going to have in the United States over the next 20 years, this is something that all companies need to learn how to do. And the winners of these awards are going to explain that to the audience. So I'm very excited about that. I think
that's a great idea, and it's going to be an interesting session too. I'd love to. Hopefully, they'll get into some of the byproducts that maybe the winning or the recognized organizations will talk a little bit about what good things happen when you treat candidates well as well, right?
It's not, exactly. Well,
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I think inevitably you get more candidates too. I mean, you know, people talk to each other more than they ever did and talk more to strangers than they ever did because of social networks, right? So, you know, the word gets out about companies a lot more than it used to.
Right.
So I think this is very important for them. And yeah. I think this is going to be huge. I think the CANDY Awards will be more famous than the HR Technology Conference in 2 years. I really do.
Really? Yeah, could be. I mean, it's interesting because there is a school of thought, the devil's advocate school of thought on candidate experiences. Well, it's not really all that important, right? We just have to give a moderately acceptable experience, and that's good enough because there's so many folks chasing us, right?
Well, but that's the point. When there aren't so many folks chasing you with the skills you want,
right?
Then you got to do it differently. Anyway, we'll see. It's. I agree with you. It's, you know, for years, companies have gotten away with treating candidates badly, and it hasn't hurt them, so they keep doing it.
Yep.
But Las Vegas, you want to talk about
Vegas? Yeah, so let's talk about Las Vegas. That's a big change for the show, and it's got some folks excited, some folks very excited. Can you comment a little bit about that, that decision,
well, the first
and
thing,
how that works?
The first thing to know is that we haven't always been in Chicago. We've only been in Chicago for 7 of our 14 years.
Okay.
So that it's not like we've left our permanent home to go off and have a fling with somebody, right?
In Vegas.
Las Vegas is statistically, is the most favorite business meeting city in the United States. I mean, I actually like it. It's sort of a adult Disneyland. What I love about Vegas is that if you're making a movie or a TV show, you have to create an illusion that lasts for 5 seconds or 12 seconds, long enough to get the shot. In mm-hmm. Vegas, like at the Venetian, where they have the 1/4 model of St. Mark's Square, they've created an illusion of your being outside in this place in Italy that sustains 24 hours a day.
Right.
I mean, it's right. Extraordinary, right? Stuff like that blows my mind about Vegas. I love in Mandalay Bay. I happen to know because I ran some panels for ADP there years ago. In Mandalay Bay, there is a what they call a predator-based aquarium, which means
predator
that all the fish.
Aquarium.
In it, yeah.
You're not talking about the expo hall, are you, Bill?
No, no. you should be. You're absolutely right. it's this aquarium that's filled only with flesh-eating fish. Right?
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
The wacky ideas people get in Las Vegas, right? And right. I happen to know that if you're staying at Mandalay Bay, you can watch the aquarium on channel 25 on your TV set.
Nice. See them throwing food from
a webcam
time
or something in there. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think, I don't want to belabor the Vegas point. It was interesting. I think there's some schools of thought that say, oh, people in conferences in general, like they go off to Vegas and it's just too crazy. There's too much distraction. There's too much fun all around. And, you lose your mind and not get out of it what you really should. And that's not anybody's fault. That's not a conference organizer's fault, certainly. It's just, it's interesting.
Sure. Well, obviously we face that danger, but you've been. And, the people at HR Technology are serious.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a serious-minded show. There's no doubt about it.
They are doing business. I mean, there is not one person there with a shopping bag sweeping tchotchkes off of vendors' tables, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even care what the vendors are giving away. It's a danger, but I think that our audience will be a little immune. Because, the thing that's happened in the last 14 years is that we have become the annual town meeting of, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people from around the world who care about HR technology. And for those like you, where it's part of your job, and
right.
even for generalists where it isn't, you will never in your life be in one place with as many people who care about the same thing you do. And that's what we've become. I mean, a few years ago, Dave Duffield said, HR Technology, everybody goes there because everyone is there, which is
right.
Sort of a Yogi Berra kind of thing, right?
Right.
But the fact is, he's right. I mean, everyone is there. I mean, every analyst, every HR analyst is there. I mean, I don't want to badmouth your employer, but Oracle Open World, which by chance happens to be on our same dates, they ain't going to have any HR analysts because they're all going to be at HR Technology. And all the best, as well as, your boss is going to be there and the boss of your boss is going to be there. They're leaving open world to come to Vegas to go to HR Technology, which I think is great. I mean,
it is great. It's fantastic. Right. Yeah, certainly, you know, running into conflicts like that is bound to happen. But the pull of the HR Technology show in the industry across the spectrum is absolutely true. And so, yeah, it's more than just having to be there, though. I think you do get out of it the value, though, right? I think people felt like it was just a dog and pony show, they probably would stop. Some of them would.
That's not happening. It's not like a yearly club meeting where you have to go to stay a member of the club. It's not like I remember in the old days, if a big-name vendor wouldn't show up to IREM, people would start gossiping about whether they weren't involved in HR technology anymore, which was ridiculous. You know, they just skipped a year of exhibiting or something like that. So, yeah, people don't come out of obligation. They come because, you know, every one of the best HR consultants is there. As I said, every one of the best analysts, all the best bloggers, as you know, will be there. I mean, we had 40 bloggers last year who wrote 78 separate posts about the conference. And then the level of HR practitioners, you know, just an incredible group of people. So much so that, you know, if technology is your executive responsibility, you know, our original audience, right? Your actual job, you know, HRIT people like you used to be at Rochester Institute, right?
Yeah.
Or your headache because you got a problem. Or is that, right? I mean, people have problems. This stuff isn't easy. I mean, whenever I talk to potential speakers, we always end up gossiping about the fact that this stuff isn't easy, right? It's hard. Or if you're a generalist who just understands that you're not going to go anywhere in your career unless you sort of get with this part of HR. So, Las Vegas will be fun. It'll give the vendors some interesting venues for parties. But I'm not worried about people staying up all night gambling or you know, going to strip clubs and not being awake for the morning keynote. It's not that kind of crowd.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Bill. And I think the value that you get out of it, you know, the Vegas stuff, it's maybe icing on the cake to some extent. The man eating aquarium, you know, that's a bonus. You don't even need that. But I'm glad it's there, but I didn't need it. So quick reset. We're about almost halfway through the show. This is the HR Happy Hour show. My name's Steve Bowes. Our guest tonight is Bill Kudyk, conference co-chair of the HR Technology Conference. Longtime columnist for HR Executive Magazine and HR Executive Online as well. You can follow him on Twitter, too, at Bill Kudyk. That's B-I-L-L-K-U-T-I-K. Bill likes that when you follow him and retweet him. He's all over that. We're talking about the HR Technology Conference, certainly, and some other things. Bill mentioned, you did mention HR Evolution partnering with the HR Technology Conference this fall. And so I'm glad we're doing that. I'm part of the HR Evolution event. I helped to put it together along, of course, with Trish McFarlane, Ben Eubanks, and Matt Stolick is helping us this year as well, which we're really pleased for. And so the HR Evolution Las Vegas event will be the day before HR Technology kicks off proper. So we'll be on Sunday, October 2nd, also at the Mandalay Bay. So if you're interested in coming out to Las Vegas for the HR Technology Conference, which you should be, certainly, I'd encourage you to take a look at HR Evolution as well, maybe come out a day early and hit up both the events. We've got a really nice arrangement with HR Technology Conference discount that the great team at HR Technology Conference has made available to our attendees of HR Evolution. So think about checking that out as well. It would be a great way to spend an extra day in Vegas, and then certainly your time at the HR Technology Conference would be perhaps even better for it. So I encourage you to check out HR Evolution.
I will be coming early just to go to your show, Steve. And if people go to our website, hrtechnologyconference.com, your logo is in the left column. They can click on it. And if they want to go to both shows, they should register for your show first, because you then make them eligible for a huge discount to my show, so that going to both, your show is almost free, not quite, but almost free, and it's a very good deal for people who want to do both. So
yeah, we've got a nice program lined up. We didn't get Facebook. We got Zappos though, Bill. I have
good
a Zappos
for you.
Presentation
good for you.
On our agenda. So I know how the HR Happy Hour crowd loves when we talk about Zappos, but it's actually going to be a really good session, and we're excited. We'll be in their hometown, Las Vegas, or nearby Las Vegas, where they're based. So it made sense to reach out to them to get them on board HR Evolution, and lots of other cool sessions as well. So you can learn more about HR Evolution. And in fact, the last thing I'll say about it tonight is we are doing a couple of more HR Evolution kind of theme shows with different presenters. From the event, he'll be coming on the HR Happy Hour show in the next few weeks to talk about, you know, their stuff and that event too. So I know the Talent Anarchy team is coming on the show soon, as well as Lois Melbourne from Acquire and Mike Krupa are going to make an appearance on the radio show to talk about their HR Evolution sessions as well. So we encourage you to check that out. So Bill, let's just step back just a little bit. We'll circle maybe back from the conference, just a step, and sort of your other life or your other full-time job is an analyst, a columnist, you know, an observer, expert of the space. I'd love for you to maybe just offer us some of the observations this year heading into the show, some of the bigger themes you might see emerging, whether specifically at the show from sessions or just in general from what you're seeing happening, you know, across the community and across the technology space in general. What's really interesting to you right now in HR technology?
Sure. There are two or three things that are really interesting to me, and I'll be writing about a couple of them published on September 16th online in the print edition of HRE, and some of them I've written about before. The first is finally, the integration of social technology into enterprise applications. The fact is, although I don't live there on social technology and social world, they have pioneered ways. I mean, hey, look at Facebook. They have changed the way 750 million people communicate, right? Shouldn't we have that in HR applications? Mm-hmm. I think we should. I mean, it's proven to be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It works.
Compelling, certainly,
yeah.
Right.
So, for instance, I write about, on September 16th, the fact that SAP has come out with a new suite called Career on Demand, and this is the first part of the suite. And they have a goals application that, you know, I don't think they like me saying this, I think they might be worried about legal issues, that looks and acts just like Facebook, only you actually get real work done. I mean, more than real work done. It's actually can be used by managers to manage their direct reports. I mean, it blew me away. I was in the Valley for the last week in July and spent a day with David Ludlow at SAP, and he is going to be showing the conference these new apps. He has a session the way Gretchen Alarcon of Oracle did last year to show Fusion. He's going to be showing their new SaaS applications. And, you know, it'll blow you away. I mean, you've never seen anything like it in your professional life. I haven't, and I've been looking at this software for 22 years. So other people are doing it, absolutely. SuccessFactors is doing it with their acquisition of CubeTree, and Workday is doing it. And, you know, sort of everyone is integrating some of the social functionality into their enterprise apps. But this is the biggest leap any of us have ever seen, okay?
Okay.
So that's fascinating. The second thing that I've been watching very closely is the merging of the talent management suite vendors with the basic core HR, system of record, HRMS, whatever you want to call them, vendors.
Right.
The payroll benefits and HR vendors, right? And the fact is that, you know, SuccessFactors is working very hard on their HR app that they call Employee Central, which, you know, Dmitry Karkovsky, who runs all their apps, tells me is ready for whatever size company wants to use it. I'm not quite sure that's fully operational yet, but certainly he's got some good size companies using it already. So there you have a talent management vendor, right? A suite vendor, a very well-known one. They recently bought Plateau. And they're going to have the basic HR app pretty soon, right? So they will have unified HR and talent management just the way Workday has had it for the last 2 years at least, and even probably before that, but particularly in the last 2 years since Leanne Levensaler became the head of HR applications over there, I mean, Dimitri's counterpart at Workday. And so that's really a tectonic shift to me. The plates of HR technology twist when SuccessFactors starts competing directly and effectively, if they do, with Workday. That's a game changer right there. And then you ask, well, what does that mean for the other, you know, perfectly fine suite vendors like Taleo and Saba and Cornerstone On Demand and others, if indeed people are being drawn to these two companies, and you've got Ultimate doing that as well for smaller companies, and there are a few others. Would they're being drawn to these companies that sort of have all the pieces together, right? And you're not sticking anything onto anything else. It's all integrated. And, of course, Fusion from Oracle is in that category as well.
Sure, absolutely.
So those are a couple of the issues that I think are real interesting to me, and they will be certainly discussed at the conference. You know, one of the major events I didn't mention is the great debate between Naomi Lee Bloom and Jason Averbuch. Now, you know them both.
I do.
Can you imagine a better pairing for a debate than those two people?
I think it'll be lively. You know,
I think that's an understatement,
right,
Steve.
What makes debates interesting is the conflict, if you can find it, right? So
that's the problem. I agree with you.
And sometimes, not in this, you know, I don't know particularly what they're going to sort of address, but, you know, we've all seen lots of panel discussions, right, at lots of conferences in our lives where four panelists just all sort of agree with each other for 45 minutes, and
right,
that's not that interesting sometimes.
Well, that's exactly why we canceled our former analyst panel, because there is this tendency among experts in our field to indulge in groupthink, right, and sort of arrive at a conventional wisdom that everybody agrees about, and so, you know, it's pretty boring to listen to. And that's what happened to the analyst panel. They were agreeing all the time, and, you know, who wants that? So
Right. The
fact is, I was mentioning just in terms of how much they know and their personalities. I mean, we all know Naomi knows more about this stuff than anyone on the planet, right? And we all know that Jason is one of the great presenters in our industry and unbelievably knowledgeable, and he's, you know, meeting with clients every single day over their HR issues and HR technology issues. But you're absolutely right. We have been working since June 6th to find the areas of disagreement between them.
That's right.
I mean, in that way, the debate is totally rigged because, you know, we're searching for questions where they know they have disagreements. And I agree with you.
Right.
Disagreements are incredibly
important.
Yeah,
and I think the other problem you run into from a practitioner standpoint, whether it's a panel or a debate, sometimes you're left there, and if everyone's agreeing, right, and so everything's so obvious and clear and everyone agrees, you're left thinking, well, then why can't we do this where I work? It sounds so simple. Why can't we figure this out?
All right, yeah.
That's frustration I think that can set in too.
It's bad when people make things sound simple.
I don't think
they should.
For sure. Let me do no more than reset, Bill. I'm with Bill Kudyk, HR Technology Conference co-chair, Human Resources Executive Magazine columnist. We're talking about the HR Technology Conference, the state of the HR technology industry, certainly. And you definitely want to make plans to come to Las Vegas this October. There's no doubt about it. There's no kickback involved here, Bill. I get nothing from promoting the show other than
nothing.
I get nothing, actually. There's no other than. I get nothing, but just maybe I'll feel good if you're there. How's that sound? And if you come up to me and say, hey, I came to this show because I heard the HR happy hour. If someone comes up to me and says that, I'll be happy. That'll be what I get out of the show. But if you want to get on board with Bill tonight, please do. There's lots of folks on the line, Bill, but I think you've intimidated them all. So no one seems to want to come on. Oh, we have a caller who wants to come on. Caller, I will get you in 1 second. But please do call in 646 378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board with Bill and myself tonight. We have about 20 more minutes left in the show, and we'll be sure to take your call. Bill, we have a caller. I want to just take it right now.
This go for
be,
it.
Could be our top question of the night. So let's go to area code 864. You're on the HR Happy Hour show.
Hey, Steve. It's Paul. Can you hear me okay?
Paul, go ahead. You're a little dim, so I didn't mean that sort of intellectually, but shout out your question quick.
Okay, I'm just curious. You know, all the HR tech seems to be around managing the data about employees. And, Bill, you mentioned, this new app with that you said was a lot like Facebook, and you can actually get work done. Is there any discussion, have you seen any discussion around integrating the reward and recognition side of the equation that actually influences the behaviors that you're tracking?
Yeah, well, that is certainly the case. That it depends on what you mean by rewards and recognition. I'm not a big fan of, you know, lists of small gifts that people can get for doing good work. I'm a big fan of people getting paid a lot of money for doing good work, getting bonuses, getting more paid vacation, stuff like that, I think is really important. And,
like a badge next to your profile online?
Yeah, a badge doesn't do
cutting
it for
you.
Right. I mean, though gamification is going to be becoming important in software, when it comes to your real work, unless Gen Y really does care about those badges, you know, how much your bonus is and how much your merit pay increase is each year is going to be a lot more important than how many badges you've been given. I did want to talk about... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Paul.
Paul who, by the way?
This is Paul Heber.
We had dinner a few years back, Bill, at the HR Tech in Chicago when I was
with
Steve and Trish. I don't know if you remember, but I guess where I was going more with that is that whether we could have the philosophical discussion some other day on whether cash is better than non-cash, but the point is that, you know, a lot of what people look for in their jobs is validation and recognition on a regular basis for the work that they're doing. And it would just seem a logical connection for me that if I'm tracking work through a system, there ought to be a way for me to then also recognize and reward those people through the system. And I was just curious if you're seeing anybody integrating that into these bigger management systems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Paul. And I remember that dinner. Ripple is doing that. Basically, I see a new category emerging that I'm just calling, to make it simple, managing work. And I write about the fact that there's a startup in Half Moon Bay on the Pacific called Four Spires, and there's SAP, as I just described, Ripple, and Workday, who all have systems that help managers, you know, set goals, set activities, keep track of, learn about problems, have status reports on work, right? And really have more transparency into what their direct reports are doing than they ever had before, unless they were, you know, classic micromanagers, drive you crazy, always over your shoulder kind of people. And anyway, within those four work management systems that I talk about, Ripple does have the kinds of rewards that you mentioned. And I think that certainly in the future we'll have more of that. So thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Hope I see you in Las Vegas.
Paul, thanks, buddy. We'll hope to see you soon. Bill, that maybe I wrote down a note while you were sort of giving an answer to Paul's question. So a little bit maybe tangent to what you guys were talking about, but I thought of it anyway, which was sort of how systems, especially performance systems, have been so geared towards that classic sort of individualized assessment, evaluation, review, whatever the term you want, appraisal, whatever word you're using, right? That individual appraisal or management of performance. Yet, at least we think and we see this in many organizations, more and more of what people are doing relies on contributing to teams, participating in teams, adding value in a team setting, and you can't get anything done unless you're sort of collaborating more effectively. But yet lots of systems, even modern systems, tend to manage those processes of review, assessment, that ties to compensation in many cases on a real individual basis. And I wonder if we're going to see more, I don't know, openness and transparency even around performance in the accomplishment of goals.
Well, you're absolutely right, and there aren't enough systems out there that can deal with the incredibly complex, real structures of how work gets done in corporations. We all know it has nothing to do with the organizational chart, and in fact, it's more matrixed and even can be double matrix. So there are people flying off in all directions working with people. And that, absolutely right, performance appraisal systems really don't judge teams, right?
Right.
They don't judge collaborative teams. It's always about an individual, perhaps within a team, but never about the team itself. And I think that that's the next step, frankly. I've been looking at 60 WebEx demos for the past few weeks for the awesome new technology session.
Yeah, that was my next question. I was going to ask about that. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of them that I saw did just that. I mean, it would help manage, in that kind of complex environment where you could set things up, you know, in the traditional org chart kind of way, but then also in a team fashion and all the rest. So, yeah, I've been seeing some incredible stuff. The problem, as always, for people who've never been to the show, Awesome New Technologies is a general session where six vendors get 10 minutes each just to get up there and show you their stuff. I mean, it's a departure from a lot of what we do because, frankly, we don't allow people to show software in the other breakouts because we don't want vendors to be selling.
Right.
This is a special session where it's often startups and sometimes it's established companies who've done some great innovative thing. You know, it's open to whomever. But they basically get up there for 10 minutes and just knock your socks off. And, you know, the way they get to go up there is to knock my socks off. So I've been watching these WebExes and GoToMeetings and, you know, the various forms people use for online demos for a few weeks now, and we'll go on till the end of the month. And I'm just dizzy from seeing them all. But there's some great new stuff going on out there.
Yeah, and that was sort of the reason why I thought about asking you a little bit earlier in the show. But when we were talking, you were talking a little bit about one of the themes that's interesting to you in the space in general was the further expansion, I suppose, of some of the talent management suites into more traditional or core HR, and of course there's the larger vendors, of course, that we all know that have been out there for a while doing this too. I'm thinking, like, where's the innovation coming from? You know, right, the around the edges, whether it's a niche recruiting kind of application, or it's video interviewing, or it's some sort of social play. But there's still, you know, despite software companies getting bigger, there's still a lot of innovation and interesting things happening at the other side of the market too.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned video interviewing. I saw a recruiting app today where the video interviewing part was simply a feature of the application. It wasn't the whole application.
Right.
Which was very impressive, knowing about HireVue and Green Jobs Interview, where they basically focus on that. But, you know, remarkably, Steve, and you've seen it yourself, well, firstly, in our industry, innovation comes mostly from recruiting. I mean, I get an email every 2 weeks from a new vendor, a startup doing a new ATS, unbelievably. But more often, it's around the fringes of recruiting. And I asked the last CEO, the last independent CEO of the independent brass ring before it got bought by Conexa, a lovely woman named Deb Bessemer, why she thought that recruiting was a source of so much innovation. I said, is it because recruiting has so many moving parts or what? She said, no, it's because we haven't gotten it right yet. So a lot of these guys that I've been looking at are in recruiting. But as I just said, here we've got, you know, straight-laced bureaucratic SAP coming out with incredible innovation. Here we have gigantic Oracle coming out with Fusion last year, and, you know, amazing innovation. We've got SuccessFactors doing incredibly interesting stuff. We've got Workday, you know, blowing your minds with here and there. It's amazing. There's never a boring moment in HR technology, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, imagine if you were following supermarkets, right? How interesting that would be. People are innovating all the time. The one innovation we decided to do, an additional innovation we decided to do in the show this year, is have private, quiet demo rooms on the show floor. And since it's on the show floor, that means they're commercials. They're not like our old shootouts, which you moderated our last shootout session.
I did participate in the last shootout session.
Ever,
did I?
Ever.
I hope I didn't kill the shootout.
You killed
forever.
It, Steve. Yeah, it's your fault that we're not having it anymore.
Damn.
basically, the vendors killed it. The vendors didn't want a demo to our independent scripts, which were designed to show the things nakedly and baldly to our audience, and they prefer to demo to their marketing demo scripts, and you know, I don't blame them. If I were a vendor, I'd feel the exact same way. So I said, okay, great, you know, let's create a venue where you can do that, where it's convenient, it's right on the show floor, it's quiet, it's not like those little booth theaters with seats for 20 and there's noise
right.
around you on both sides and you can't hear anything.
Yeah. Bit of a
and
carnival barker atmosphere.
Exactly. Right? It's the perfect thing for the next step for their sales process. You know, you want to kick the tires, you watch the 15-minute demo. You're getting serious about it, you go to the demo room, you sit down for a quiet hour, and you really see the software. And guess what? We're charging the vendors for the privilege of doing that, because education, if you want to educate our audience, it's free. When they were in the shootout, it was free. If you want to show your marketing demos, it's going to cost you because it's a commercial. And it's fine. That's the way it should be.
And you're getting good participation on that?
Steve, it's ridiculous. We have two rooms with 10 slots each. We sold out in 7 or 8 or 9 days.
Wow.
So every major vendor, it's on the website. If you look under expo information for attendees, every major vendor you can think of has at least one demo slot, if not two. So people can see an hour long of whatever they want to see, which I think is
I'm looking at it right now.
I think it's a good benefit. I think it's a good benefit to the attendees too. And as I said, it's odd that should replace the shootout, but in some ways it's utterly appropriate that replaces the shootout.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good thing about the event, right? It is evolving. It's changing
to
meet the needs of vendors. Because you've got two constituencies, right? You've got the attendees, obviously. But there's got to be an angle for the vendors as well that makes sense for them.
Right. No, it's worked out very well. And it's separate. You know, we come out of journalism on this show. David Shadowitz, my co-chairman, started Human Resource Executive Magazine, had worked for some computer trade magazines before that. I come out of daily newspapers, where there's a separation of church and state. You know, you got your editorial, you got your advertising. We feel the same way about the show. The conference is the editorial, the trade show floor is the advertising. And when you're in the advertising area, you should expect to be promoted to. When you're in the education area, you can expect to learn what you need.
Be educated, Right, and then, of course, whatever the conference is, right, and we've all been to them, there's nothing worse when you sit in a session and feel like, man, I just sat in a sales pitch for 45 minutes. You're ready to kill yourself, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Last few minutes of the show, quick last reset of the night, last call for calls, if that makes sense. We're on the HR Happy Hour show. My name's Steve Bowes. Our guest is Bill Kudyk. We're talking about the HR Technology Conference and the state of HR technology in a way as well. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board. We have a few minutes left. We can probably take you your question or comment if you have. Twitter as well, HR Happy Hour is our hashtag, and we're keeping an eye on that as well. Lots of folks hanging out with us tonight, and we appreciate that. the I'll even pitch my sessions, Bill. I'm doing two sessions at
yes,
the HR
now,
Technology
what I'd
Conference.
Like you to do, what I'd like you to do is pitch your HR Evolution session,
okay,
which you're giving at the end of our show after having had your conference at the beginning of the show. You know, have you and Trish had any time to think about what you're going to do with that?
We have, we have talked about our presentation. So, yeah, so just for a quick reset, we're doing the HR Evolution event. It'll be our fourth HR Evolution event on Sunday prior to the HR Technology Conference kicking off. And then on Wednesday, the last day of HR Technology, Trish McFarland, who sort of created HR Evolution, along with Ben Eubanks, Trish and myself will be doing a session called the Unconference HR Evolution, bringing HR technology and collaboration into the next century. So it's going to be a good, I think, session really talking about a little bit about the conference itself and how that came together, but really more about some of the themes, the lessons learned, the concepts behind the HR Evolution and other similar types of movements and events can have some application inside organizations as well. And so and we'll brainstorm a little, we'll talk a little bit, we'll sort of facilitate, I think, more than present, more or less. And I think it'll be a good session. And so certainly for folks who are at the HR Technology Conference who are fans of HR Evolution, I think you'll like the session. But we'll do more than just rehash HR Evolution as well. So I think it'll be a really good session. I'm looking forward to that. It is on the last day, right? So it's that third day of the Vegas kind of marathon, but hopefully folks will rally for that last morning session prior to the closing keynote, which is going to be great, the Jim Hollinshaw keynote that Bill talked about at the top of the show. So that's going to be a good session. And then the other one is the social media panel that Chris Dunn is moderating. That will be on Tuesday. And that'll have Chris Dunn moderating, as I said. Lori Rudeman's on that panel. Myself, Oliver Marks is on the panel. And Mike Krupa, great HR technologist. Probably the most techie of all the technologists, Bill. So if there's any hard technology questions, they're going to Krupa. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And tell me, has our friend Chris Dunn started organizing this panel yet, or is he being lazy?
No, he's all over it. In fact, he's hiring
all over
help.
It?
The rumor I hear is he's hiring assistants and help to manage his empire. That's the rumor I'm hearing. So the HR capitalist fistful of talent, you know, slow crawl towards dominating HR media is underway. And so
good.
Chris will do a good job, and I'm looking forward to it. So it's going to be a big few days for me personally, but it's not just about me. Nobody cares. It's really, as you said, I'm not sure who if you quoted the person who said it's one of the top three HR events of the whole year. I'm not sure.
Right, John Holland.
Oh, John is right. John Holland. He's absolutely right. I'd say it's in the top two, and maybe even it's my favorite event of the year personally. I'm biased, I know, but I really do. I hope this show didn't come off as too much of a commercial for HR Technology Conference, but quite frankly, I wouldn't do this for, you know, other events. You know, I believe in this event so much, and it's meant a lot to me personally and professionally over the years, and so I'm really enthused and passionate about it, and I hope you are as well. Folks who catch the show later, if you're coming to the show, tell one of your friends, tell your generalist, tell one of your recruiters, tell your boss. It's absolutely the best 3 days you'll spend at an HR conference all year long, and I do believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, that's really nice of you to say, Steve. And you know, there have been a whole bunch of people who feel that the conference has really helped them in to grow as professionals, both in their interests and in their core competencies. Was it Paul Smith who sent around an email about his new job today?
And, yes, he did.
And he has said that in print more than once. I mean, we've put his quotes in our brochure about how much the conference has helped him as an HR professional, and he's just been made a director of HR at Delaware Valley Water Commission or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think Paul's great, and he's as general as generalists come, right, Bill? I mean,
yeah.
he's not a technologist any stretch. So. Anyway, so big thanks. Last thing, just hrtechnologyconference.com, all one word, hrtechnologyconference.com for your information there. Check out HR Evolution as well. That's thehrevolution.org. We talked about that tonight. And hopefully we'll see you in Las Vegas. Bill, I think that's it for tonight. We're out. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Great. Well, I loved it, and you know, nothing more I liked than talking about the show. So thanks so much for the time.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time on the HR Happy Hour show. Good night, everyone.
This episode of HR Happy Hour was sponsored by Acquire, makers of leading workforce planning and analytic solutions. Visit blog.acquire.com to find relevant information related to HR and workforce topics. Plus, it's a chance for you to weigh in and exchange your brilliant ideas with us. Join us at blog.acquire.com.